Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. Our show today is brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? I'm Troy Skinner, joined this week on the panel by Jonathan Schweitzer, Senior Pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, and John Perbudos, the co-founder of the Federation of Indian American Christian Organizations of North America, lovingly known as FIACONA. Sounds like a Disney character name to me.
It does.
Right? There should be like crabs and various fishes singing songs about FIACONA.
Could very well be, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, what we're going to be talking about today is relevant to what we have going on here, because if you've listened to this show before, you know my position. All issues that affect worldview questions are relevant to us here where we live.
Yeah,
We tackle some pretty deep, meaty issues. If you were listening last week, you heard a fascinating history lesson, and I'm going to try to turn one-half-hour-long show into a 36-second synopsis, so see how well
here we
I
go.
Do.
Yes, here we go.
I'm going to miss some really important stuff, I'm sure, but as long as you get the general gist of it, you'll be able to kind of track with what we're going to be talking about the rest of this half hour on the Faith Debate Show today. Thousands of years ago, there was a people in an area of the world that we now call India. And that area of the world grabbed hold of a religious idea that we know as Hinduism, and that has defined the religious faith of the majority of the people in that part of the world for millennia. Then about 2,000 years ago, tradition holds that the Apostle Thomas, Doubting Thomas from the New Testament, trekked his way over to India, and the first Christians were converted in India. About, I don't know, 500 or so years later, maybe a little bit after that, there was an incursion of sorts from the Persian Empire, or Persians. It wasn't the Persian Empire, but the Persians, who were Muslims. They move into the area. So now you've got a lot of Hindus and an increasingly powerful and perhaps vocal Muslim community, and this, what currently exists as a 2.4% Christian community in the mix. And then a whole bunch of geopolitical things happen. The cork comes off the bottle in World War II. This is the era of history when Gandhi walked the earth. You're familiar with Gandhi. If not, there's a really long 3.5-hour movie about Gandhi that you can learn, and everything you need to know about Gandhi in 3.5 hours. So anyway, Gandhi saying, to the people who have this Hindu ideal, saying we need to be a Hindu nation, and he's saying no, India needs to be a pluralistic democratic society. And that's kind of how it was for a long time, until I'm skipping over a lot of history here.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, things kind of came to a head with certain factions within the political structures within Indian politics rising up and saying, you know what, we need to protect our culture. We need to redefine our culture along traditional means. We need to be a Hindu nation. And if we're going to be a Hindu state, then that means the Muslims and the Christians have to convert or get out, or we're just going to make their lives miserable somehow. And it was in this kind of an environment back in the late 90s, right around the turn of this most recent millennium, 1999, 2000, thereabouts, that the persecution really got to be difficult. And so people from India who now live in America and call themselves Christian, about 300,000 of them or so, belonging to a variety of denominations and Christian church groups, decided that they had a common interest in what was going on in their native homeland. They have banded together in the organization now known as FIACONA, and they are trying to advocate for what's going on over there, for the Christians, giving a voice to the Christians over there, and trying to bring awareness to the issue. But my question now is, I'm now aware, and you're here advocating. You're advocating that I do what?
Well, that's a good question. And by the way, you did a fantastic job in summarizing in your introduction.
And I didn't even say anything about Jonathan.
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's amazing how much history has happened without me. It's amazing.
We got over 4 minutes into the show, and I didn't say anything about Jonathan, and I was talking about the history of the entire world, practically.
Yeah.
What's
except
the matter
for
with
the
me?
History of Jonathan.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Now, here, the Indian Christians, of course, mostly they are first-generation immigrants. Now the second and third generations are slowly, you know, coming into college and workforce. But mainly it's the first generation that predominantly either retired or still actively working and very much concerned about what's happening to their mother churches. And unlike the pilgrims who came in the early founding time, the founding period of the U.S., these Christians from India who come to, or for that matter, even non-Christians who come to the U.S., these shores these days have very strong ties back there to their families. And they travel so often, you know, it's, the travel has made been made very easy. So all these factors do affect everything that happens in India on their daily day-to-day basis. The Indian Christians keep in close contact with their home churches. They read the newspapers and they find out what's happening to the Christians. And that does affect them, and they come to us and say, what can we do? In now, Washington is influential. Everybody is looking up to Washington. It's a unipolar world. And of course, the U.S. has a lot of
debt.
Yes.
Not debt.
We have a lot of debt.
We don't have a lot. We do have debt, but, yes, but we have a lot
China
of
owns
say.
Us. I'm sorry. You were playing word association there for a minute. I don't know.
We have a, I was trying to
say America,
out.
You say debt.
Yeah. We do have a lot of debt.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
I couldn't help it.
And some of us are still struggling to pay the debt. But what happens is,
we have a lot of influence.
Yeah,
a lot
the
of
U.S.
power
has
in the world.
A lot of power.
Sure,
you know, in not only in Europe and through NATO, but you have other means to influence what's happening around the world, and that, of course, the Hindu Americans also are very much aware of. So, what they have been doing, whenever there is a violence against a Christian church or a pastor is killed by these mobs, they get themselves activated. The Hindu lobby in Washington goes into the overgear. I mean, the active mode, and say, "Oh, this is very isolated. It was done by criminals. Look, in two weeks' time, we are going to catch them and prosecute them."
Okay,
and
they go into spin mode.
They go into the spin mode exactly, yeah. And they give that diplomatic cover, the protection, the political cover that these radical Hindu party members need in India.
And so your job is to stop the spin.
Exactly. And that's where the Federation of Indian American Christian Organizations, even with 300,000 Indian American Christians, find it very difficult to do what we need to do, because we are not able to, that's a fact, I'm not ashamed to say that, the Federation of Indian American Christian Organizations finds it difficult to match the money power and the muscle power of the Hindu American lobby in Washington. Hmm. That is where you can help.
How many Hindus, do you know the number, live in the United States?
There are about 3 million Indians live in America, and about 300,000 are Indian Christians. And you have about 10 to 15% are Muslims, Indian Muslims, and the rest of them are generally Hindus. Then you have the small sections like the Dalits and others who don't consider themselves religious Hindus. But, you know, they're
so about 1.8 million Hindus from India.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, close to
that would be 60%. He told me earlier it was 60%. So 60% of 3 million is about 1.8 million.
Yeah. 1.8 to 2 million.
I don't see the problem. You can't out fundraise those people.
We can't do that.
I bet you could do it, Troy. I bet you could. With that nice suit coat you got on.
I'll write you a check.
Yes,
I'll give you a very interesting a scenario.
I'll write you a check.
China will back it up.
This is a true story here. Well, you know, with India, I mean, Washington wants India to be a balancing act for China. All these geopolitics and the economic factors play in.
Right.
And you can't really say, well, you know, you can't really put, if I'm running this country, I can't really say, well, now I'm going to put the Indian Christian issue in the center and everything else is going to take a backstage. I can't say that. I can't run a country like that. I can't have a bilateral relationship with a country or with a region based on that kind of a philosophy. So I have to balance these things.
You're talking about the American politician
American
thinking this way, that he has to balance, because there's only 2.5% Christians in India, and the majority are Hindu, and so...
And India is
it's
an
a little bit hard
ally.
For him to...
India is
very
an important,
important
ally, and you can't really ignore what happens in India. It's the fourth largest economy in the world.
The most populous.
Yeah, over a billion people. It's the largest democracy in the world. And not only that, it's the largest English-speaking country in the world.
Mm.
And if you can imagine that.
Hmm. So are you interacting? Are you personally interacting with congressmen and senators and people from the White House administration, that sort of thing?
Yes, I do. And on what happens...
Tell them I said hi.
Which one? I will.
All of them.
Just name your congressman here.
Just name drop. Yeah, Roscoe Bartlett.
Roscoe Bartlett.
Mr. Bartlett has been very active.
He's probably very, very appreciative of what you have to say.
He's very appreciative of what we do. Now, here is what we need to really understand. And this is the real story. About a year ago, a couple of years ago, there was a situation where one of the radical Hindu leaders, who happens to be the chief minister of the state of Gujarat. His name is Narendra Modi. The chief minister is like a governor. He's the top executive of the state.
Say his name again?
Narendra Modi.
Okay.
Usually they call him Modi. Yeah, Mr. Modi. And he, in 2001, no, I'm sorry, in 2002 or 2001.
Okay.
I believe it's 2001. He killed about 2,000 Muslims in his state because he was slipping away in the polls and he wanted to consolidate the Hindu vote bank behind him.
Wow.
And what you kill the Muslims, right?
Everybody who voted against me, raise your hand.
Off with their heads.
And what happens?
That's one way to get the job done.
You know that,
and we're laughing.
You know that policy.
Because we're so far removed from it that we just can't
imagine.
That policy
paid off for him because he has been voted in for the third time.
Who's going to vote against him now?
Because we have 90% Hindus. I mean, 88%.
So do the
Hindus.
Muslims vote for him now?
The Muslims don't, and some of the Muslims, I'm told these days, yes, they do, because
he doesn't need him anymore.
He's an administrator. He's a great administrator. Listen to this. He's a great administrator. Like, you know, sometime back in the history, I read that Adolf Hitler was a very great administrator.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, and he gets things done.
I got to turn political for just 2 seconds.
Okay.
Are you listening to this? You, listener to the Frederick Faith Debate Show?
Yes.
Don't ever be tempted to think that character doesn't matter when you're casting your vote.
Yeah.
They're really smart and they know how to run things efficiently.
Charisma doesn't do it.
Character matters. Otherwise, you know, radically bad character, you can see what happens. Yeah. And even in smaller ways, it's bad for
society. I guess it's amazing to me that...
By the way, you're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. The one who's amazed is Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel, and John Prabudos, the co-founder of Fiat Kona. And you can now go on with your
I'm the one that's amazed, and Troy's the one that's amazing with that nice jacket that he's wearing today. The question the thing that amazes me is, how is it that in this day and age, 2008, you still have what?
2009.
Nine.
Yeah, from our American perspective, what appears to be a Nazi-esque race purity movement in places around the world? I mean, I guess North Korea is still that way. I guess you run into that in China at some level. I don't know. I mean,
Iraq. How much Saddam is there Hussein, still? They tried to wipe out the Kurds.
This kind of intense,
right? I mean, people, you know,
genocide based on, you know, I thought we were beyond that.
No, unfortunately, so we amazing. Are not. And the history actually repeats so often than we like to admit.
There's nothing new under the sun, John.
Nothing new. And
are you quoting no. the Bible to me again? Is this a faith debate?
Now, coming back to this story of Mr. Modi, he wanted to come. I mean, there is a hotel, Asian American Hotel Owners
Association. That sounds, by the way, like a Disney character, too.
It does. Yeah, I mean, Fia Kona and Mr. Modi. Yes, we need to get Disney to do a movie about this.
Mr. Modi wanted to come to America.
Yeah.
And he had
that sounds like a good title for the movie. Okay, sorry. Mr. Modi wanted
Mr.
to come
Modi
to America.
Mr. Modi wanted to come to America. Who is inviting? One of the most powerful lobby in America, which is the Asian American Hotel Owners Association.
Asian American Hotel Owners.
Hotel Owners.
And why do they want him to come?
Because...
AHOA.
AHOA.
It's an acronym.
Yeah, AHOA.
See, I picked it up without him even saying it.
Exactly.
I'm getting good at these acronyms. AHOA.
Sounds
that's
Hawaiian.
Not Hawaiian. That's right. It's not.
AHOA.
AHOA.
Controls about $80 billion worth of, it's a B, you know, billion with a B.
Wow, he could pay off Bernard Madoff's victims.
Yeah, they own $80 billion worth of hotels
dollars.
And motels in America.
Wow. Hmm.
And you ever walk into a motel, you know, down south in 81, and you walk into the reception room, and there is an Indian guy standing because it's owned by an Indian. And particularly that guy probably is from this particular state where Modi is ruling the state.
Okay.
Now.
So Modi's together with AHOA.
With the AHOA, and they wanted him to come because 80% of the membership in AHOA is from that particular state. The names with the Patels, the Modis, the Gandhis, they are all from that particular state.
Oh.
Now, they...
So this state is like the most powerful state
It's most economically advanced right now.
Yeah? Oh. And what's the name of the state?
Called Gujarat.
Gujarat.
This is, ironically, this is the home state of Gandhi, where Gandhi was born in the state.
Mm.
So is this like the California of India?
Yeah, you can say that. It's also in the West Coast. You
okay.
<know?
laughs> There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, here is the trick. We went to the State Department. We went to the members of Congress. We said, no, he cannot be allowed to come to the U.S. Finally, after a lot of hectic lobbying, advocacy, rather, we were able to get convince the State Department to go along with our idea and deny him a diplomatic visa. And not only they did that, they took his 10-year multiple entry tourist visa and canceled it and gave him the passport back. Now, he got very mad.
I guess so.
He got really mad.
He's got $80 billion behind him.
Yeah. And that particular AHOA is every year, year after year, they're trying to bring him back to the U.S.
Okay.
Because for them, his visa was
Wait,
denied.
Now, Modi is the governor of Gujarat.
Yeah. They call him chief minister.
The chief minister.
I need to just pose a timeout for half a second.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to track.
Yeah.
And I think I've fallen off the tracks.
Yeah, that's why I was saying that, because I wasn't sure if I was.
I'm going to need you to help me connect the dots again.
Yes,
and
okay.
Mr.
Now,
Modi,
I'm telling the story because...
It's fascinating, and it's, I mean, really, I'm going to think about this every time I go into a hotel now.
Yes.
So you
might want to use a different name.
You have either helped me or scarred me for the rest of my life. I'm not sure what. But why do I care exactly?
Now, when I went to members of Congress, and I told them, I need you to support a resolution on the House that just basically says who Modi is and what he has done.
Meaning that he killed 2,000 Muslims.
Yeah.
This is why we care, because he's a genocidal...
So you want them to say, the United States Congress resolves that this guy is a homicidal maniac.
Yes.
And we
genocidal maniac.
Genocidal maniac.
Genocidal.
Sorry, genocidal maniac. And as America, we just wanted to make sure you were clear that we believe that.
Yes.
And we don't let him come to the United States unless he's going to admit that he's a war criminal.
And guess what? About 90% of the members that I went to, they said, look, John, I totally believe what you say. I agree with you, and I would like to help you. but please don't ask me to support this resolution.
Because he represents the Hindus of the nation, or because he represents $80 billion at AHOA?
No, again, you're close. I'm paraphrasing it. This is what I would hear member after member from.
Okay.
They would say, well, I have a Patel that owns two hotels in my district, and he holds fundraiser for me once a year.
So it is money.
And I don't know
political
whether
fundraising
he supports
money.
You or not, but I can't, the time is short, and I can't find out from him now, so I would pass on this thing.
So everybody
I don't
is
make
afraid
him
because they're going to lose the fundraising from a hotel owner in their state.
It was so frustrating to me. You know what I finally did? One time I told the chief of staff for a member. He's from a southern state, and I would even call it Mississippi, from Mississippi, that member.
He's naming names.
You know, and this member's chief of staff was telling me the same story, and I said, look, buddy, if you think there are two Patels in
I love
your,
that.
That's not an acronym.
I love that.
Hey, buddy.
If you think there are two Patels in your district that are going to get mad at you for supporting this issue, wait until I talk to the Southern Baptist Convention and see how many people are going to be mad at you.
And so at the end of the day, you got to wield a little bit of political influence, because this genocidal maniac, Modi, in Gujarat, he's just out of control. And somehow we've got to stop these people
See, this
from
is
continuing
one exa-
to is, get away with yeah. this kind of genocide, this kind of persecution of other cultures.
Yeah. This is one example. As soon as the State Department denied him the visa, in spite of these opposition in the roadblocks in the Congress, we still were able to get his visa denied by the State Department.
Yeah, you're working hard.
Now, immediately, the Hindu America Foundation issues a statement denouncing it, saying that, you know, this is a misplaced thing. This is the Hindu phobia. They would call it Hindu baiting. That now you're talking down on the. He says nothing to do. If you consider yourself as a Hindu and support this guy and this guy's policies or this political party's agenda, then you are not represented. You are not a member of the. Because I know the Hindus that don't.
Okay, so let me trace this back. Modi is a member of this BJP that is the political party that is so dare I say racist in their approach, or they're so Hinduism oriented that they want to restore this pure culture. What's the term for that? I'm trying to come up with the right term. People that are there. Anyways, he's pushing for a pure nationality.
Well, the term is xenophobia.
Xenophobia.
Yeah.
Xenophobic.
Yeah, he's a xenophobic. Yeah. And so at the end of the day,
everything's a phobic. Hindophobic, xenophobic.
Yeah.
Everything's phobic.
Yes. Don't say the other one. I know you're thinking it. But the point is that we should not, is that if we're going to stand up for righteousness, you know, I've been dealing with this a little bit with, you know, just recently. The gentleman that was last on the show, Jack Sarah, we were talking about everybody's afraid to be pro-Palestinian, and here he is, you know, Christians are being persecuted by the Palestinians, and there's a certain difficulty, because how can the State Department stand up for Christians when they're trying to develop relationships with the leadership of the West Bank? Well, the same thing's true here. And so then you've just got this political mess where at the end of the day, politics is not about justice, but it's about playing the angles in such a way that you get the nation to support you. And so you don't want to point out their foibles, i.e. 2,000 Muslims being killed in a genocidal slaughter. You don't want to point that out too much, because otherwise they're not going to like you anymore.
Yeah.
And
well, that's exactly what happened. After this, the genocide, the 2,000 people were killed, I was a part of an interfaith delegation that went to Gujarat. Hindus, Muslims, Christians. So we were three Christians in the delegation, three Hindus and three Muslims. We went to, and one Dalit, and we went to Gujarat, and we were not, Modi told us that we were not welcome and all that thing. So we, when we came back from Gujarat, we had a very how do we say, a sad day. One day we were sitting in Delhi in a hotel, and the first secretary.
Delhi's in Gujarat.
Delhi is in New Delhi, the capital of India.
Okay.
We were sitting in the hotel after Gujarat visit, and we're sitting in the hotel, and the first secretary for political affairs from the U.S. embassy is coming to see me at the hotel.
Okay.
And I had three other people. One is the wife of the Undersecretary General of the United Nations.
Okay.
Was with me. And one of the another lady was the daughter of one of the members of parliament who was killed in that pogrom, in that genocide in Gujarat. She was with me. And this guy is coming, and I'm talking to him, and he's a American diplomat, and I'm asking him, where is the report? I haven't seen a report. I saw a British report. I saw a report from the Germans. And he said, you know what, John, we don't have a report. I said, why not? He said, the ambassador, at that time, Mr. Blackwell, I will say his name, Mr. Blackwell thinks that it would anger the government if we went and made a report of this thing. He said, you must be kidding me.
This was the ambassador to the UN you're talking
about. The U.S. ambassador in Delhi to India, the American ambassador in Delhi is telling his diplomats, don't worry about what happened in Gujarat, because if you do that, the ruling party there is BJP, they will not like what we are doing.
You know, I feel like that same dance goes on with China and human rights abuses in China. You know, there's this constant dance that is a political dance having to do with persecution of Christians around the world.
Well, next week, if you two Johns are willing, we'll talk about that a little bit more. And more specifically, we'll begin to transition perhaps from the political stuff that's going on and talk about what the role of the church is or should be. Or can have in those situations. And in the very first show that we did with this panel, the question came up in comparing what's going on in India with Israel. And the question came up, is Israel racist for wanting to have an ethnically
that was my
culturally
term.
Pure? Right.
Not and, Mr. Prabhudo's
right.
term.
So, we'll explore whether or not that instinct is a racist instinct.
Interesting.
Or not.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you both, John Schweitzer and John Prabhudos. And thanks to our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating, How Can We Make You Smile? And thank you for listening. God bless.